ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठ 1 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 10 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa Nartho yascheha karma bhihi Kamasya nendriya pritir Labho jiveta yavata Jivasya tattva jignyasa Nartho yascheha karma bhihi Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the Absolute Truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Purport. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed toward the fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification in politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the Absolute Truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses, which also require a certain amount of satisfaction, there are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage, or the combination of a man with a woman, is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning. But foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the Absolute Truth. Seekers of the Absolute Truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification because the serious students seeking the Absolute Truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the Absolute Truth, and that sort of engagement will make one happy because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that Absolute Truth is explained as follows. Yesterday morning, in the class, I spoke about Maya, and how Maya covers our original consciousness so that we don't experience Krishna Prema. I'll discuss that some more this morning, Krishna willing, from a slightly different perspective. Instead of thinking what is illusion, we can consider, well, what is reality? Trying to understand the truth. This verse, which we just read from Srimad Bhagavatam, that expands on the theme, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now one should inquire into the nature of Brahma. Brahma means the greatest. What is the greatest in all respects? So that inquiry is the lead-in, or the first sutra of the Vedanta Sutras, and that is the sets the stage for the Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with, first of all, invocation to Vasudev, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. And then it begins with the second sutra of the Vedanta Sutras, Jamadhyasa Yataha, which it's packed up, it's tight. That's the meaning of a sutra. There's a lot in there. So it means that everything comes from him, everything exists in him, everything is destroyed by him ultimately. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani what is it? Yena jatani bhutani yat prayatya visang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahma iti tad brahmeti. So this two first aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutras, they reflect this saying which I just quoted from Taittiriya Upanishad, but it's just round the other way. It, first of all, it describes what Brahma is, that from which everything emanates. Yena jatani jivanti, that in which everything lives or exists, and that into which everything again enters. And then after that saying, that is the proper subject of inquiry. So this is the same point here, that one should live for inquiry into tattva. Tattva is not a very... There's no word in English for this. Tat means that, which means it must refer to something, but it's not specified what it refers to. So tattva means that-ness, or the quality of being that. Yeah, it's not very... there's no direct translation. So tad-vijigyasasva, that is the... tat, that is the subject which should be inquired into. So here, tattva, there may be so many tattvas. That, we can use the word that in English, or tat in Sanskrit, to refer to practically unlimited entities, phenomena, ideas. But this specifically refers to Brahma, the absolute, the greatest. So tattva here means, as Srila Prabhupada translates it, the absolute truth. One should inquire into that. And one should live for this purpose. Why is that? Well, one has to be somewhat advanced in consciousness to even begin to make such an inquiry. Covered by Maya, we think, I am this body and I'm meant to enjoy this life. But when we become somewhat thoughtful, we see that my situation is not desirable. And whatever I do, I can't make it desirable. Even if I become Lord Brahma, even if I get that situation, that's also temporary. And Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartin Arjuna. Every situation, everywhere, even up to the position of Brahma, is miserable in this world. We might think, well, I'm miserable, but I'll go to the heavenly planets and I'll be happy there. But that idea is debunked by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita by saying that the whole universe is miserable. And even if you say, even if you think I'll go to Swarga and I'll enjoy Vishala Sukha, great happiness, which is promised in the Vedas. Yeta. Yeah. Swarga Vishala Sukham. That's described. Kshine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti. Tetang Bhuktva. They having enjoyed Swargaloka Vishalam Sukham, the great happiness in the heavenly planets. Then, when their punya, by which they went up there, their pious activities, when the results of that are exhausted or reduced, much reduced, Kshine Punye Martyaloka, again one has to come down here. So therefore one should think, one should direct one's desires to understanding what is the actual situation. Why am I here? Why am I suffering? How can I get free from this suffering? Yeah. It makes sense, doesn't it? Just like there are so many problems in the world. The climate change problem with the global warming is a problem. So we should think about it. What should we do about it? Stop driving cars, for instance. Well, we're not going to stop driving cars because we like driving cars. So what shall we do? Try to make them less or more fuel efficient, or go in buses. Don't drive your own car. Have electric cars. Move the pollution somewhere else. Instead of having the pollution directly in the city, generate more electricity. How about solar power? So people are thinking of different solutions, what to do. And some people say, it's not a problem. It's all propaganda. There's no such thing as global warming. But they're discussing it. There's some problem. There's some problem. We have diseases like dengue, or dengue as it's called in English. Well, in India it's called dengue. It's spelt like that. So what to do? What did the Salem Municipal Corporation do? Put chlorine in the water and sprayed here and there. Okay, problem solved. Then you'll find they're putting chlorine in the water, people get some other disease, because you're not supposed to take so much chlorine. And so on, it goes along like that. They think, call the researchers, make some research to stop this disease. But when you stop one disease, another disease comes. There used to be serious diseases, smallpox, tuberculosis, nowadays cancer, AIDS, dengue. When I first came to India, as I often say, we knew there was malaria from mosquitoes. And rarely people got this, what's that called? We call it elephantiasis, but that's not the actual. It's, they get the big leg swelling. It's not very common. But now there's so many diseases from mosquitoes. So people are trying to solve the problems, but someone, they think about it, they talk about it, they discuss it, but someone who's more intelligent sees that janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha dosha anudarshanam. He sees that there are always going to be these problems of birth, death, old age and disease. Therefore, we should try to find out what is reality beyond this condition of suffering. So that it would seem to be what every person should do. There's so many intelligent people in the world. Who are the most intelligent people in the world at the present time? Any famous intelligent people? Well, I guess Bill Gates is pretty intelligent, right? Otherwise, because everyone's trying to get money, and he got a lot. Of course, there's karma also, but that's also a factor. Donald Trump is a very rich man, but doesn't seem to be super intelligent. You never know. He must have some kind of intelligence, or is it just... Anyway, why don't people ask about these things? Well, because they're overcome by desires for material enjoyment. If we think about it, then if we think about how to get free from birth, death, old age, and disease, then we can't enjoy this material world, and we're committed to enjoy this material world. If people start to talk something seriously in the country that I come from, you say, "Oh, don't talk about that any seriously. Don't talk about things. Don't talk about it." Even the children, if they ask their parents anything about, "Oh, where did we come from?" They start to ask something. They say, "Oh, don't ask that. Don't ask. Don't ask such questions. Go to school. Learn so many things." So why are so few people interested to know the truth? Well, we know that from Bhagavad Gita. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaya. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschin maam veti tatvataha. Very few people are interested to attain the state of perfection beyond being an enjoyer of this attempting to enjoy this material world. And then even of those who have attained some level of perfection, that very few know Krishna. If we put a sign outside at the entrance to the temple, on the highway, that how to understand the truth, come here, come to our temple. How many people will stop? All the truck drivers going past, they're not interested. Who's going to find? Why is everyone not interested? Because clearly we're living in a world of... Well, it's not clear, that's the problem. But if we little bit think, we can clearly see we're in a world full of problems. This can't be the vastavik vastu, the really real thing. If it is, then why bother with anything? Well, then the only question becomes whether or not to commit suicide now or just wait to die. If there's no reality beyond what we see, then you can either die now or just wait to die or whatever. So why is everyone not interested in the truth? Especially here in this country where people have, at least in the culture, this knowledge is there. The knowledge of the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. So why are people, if we tell them, yes, we're going to teach the truth, some people won't be interested because they say, "Well, I already know the truth. I know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God, but to the Father, but through me." So they're convinced. There's not much philosophy behind it, but they're convinced. Or they may say, "La illa la wa illa la Muhammadan Rasulallah." There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. That's it, finished. Nothing else to say. Either you accept it, or you burn in hell forever. And we might help you to go to hell a little quicker by chopping your head off. Or someone may say, "Shivoham." I know the truth. The truth is Shiva. Shivoham. I am the truth. So the people, they're already convinced in their own way about what is the truth. And so they think, we don't need to learn from anyone else. Someone else may say, there is no truth. You know, so what are you talking about? What are you talking about, truth? We don't see any truth. Where is it? Do a scientific experiment to show that there's some truth. We're just here. We live. We die. Finished. We're just chemicals and that's it. There's no truth. What are you talking about? Nothing to talk about. Or they may say, don't talk about that. They don't even want to talk. Don't bring the philosophy here. We're trying to enjoy ourselves. Or there may be that, another one. Someone else coming with all the answers. We're fed up. First someone comes and says, we got the solution. And someone else comes and says, yeah, believe in Jesus, believe in Allah, believe in Sai Baba. Well, you don't find people canvassing for Sai Baba. You got to be a Christian. Not just a Christian. According to some Christians, you have to be a Christian and hate the Pope. Otherwise, you don't go to heaven, right? In Northern Ireland, there's a lot of them like that. Not in the area you were in. That's a predominantly Catholic area. But Ian Paisley and company, they're like that. You know that when the Pope came to the European Parliament, Ian Paisley was there as a European MP, and he started shouting at the Pope, you are the Antichrist, like that. So they believe that if you believe in the Pope, then you go. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus, but you have to hate the Pope also. Then only you can go to heaven. So many people seeing this, what they call religious bigotry or fundamentalism, they become fed up with it and they just don't want to listen to it. Someone else coming with just, you have to believe what I say, and just, why? Why you? Everyone says that. So many people say that. Why should I believe you? No philosophy. So you just get fed up of them all. Or it may be false complacency that say, well, look, you have to die. Yeah, I'm doing okay now and I'll die later. I'm enjoying myself now. So why bother? In the future I'll die? Okay, so what? You know, everyone dies. So, yeah, and then, or they may even believe in a future life and they say, yeah, well, I'm happy now. I'll be happy in future also. Once I asked a woman in Thailand, they said, you see, because they have Buddhism. You say, don't you know that by eating pigs, in Thailand people are very fond of eating pigs. And they also eat rats and snakes and grasshoppers and all kinds of things. But they especially like pigs. So don't you know that by eating pig, you'll become a pig in the next life? He said, yeah, and that'll be fun also. They're complacent. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, when he was somewhere in America, he said to someone, well, you'll become a dog in your next life. He said, oh, okay, that's good. I don't mind to become a dog. And Prabhupada said, then you have my blessings. He says, if that's what you want, complacency, false satisfaction. He says, it's not false, I am satisfied. I'm not interested in all this religion, I'm okay as I am. But it's false satisfaction because we cannot avoid suffering. So you may be satisfied just like the pig is satisfied eating stool, but he doesn't know that very soon, by becoming so fat, the time will come and he'll be caught and slaughtered. So that is our position. So, what is the truth? Well, we just 2 days ago, while reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapters 27, Text 26, I spoke on that 2 days ago. I believe it was 2 days ago. We have a succinct definition of the truth given by Srila Prabhupada in the purport there. So I'll read it again. The truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the enjoyer, and the living and that the living entities are meant for his service and enjoyment. One who knows this truth and who tries to engage all resources in the service of the Lord escapes all material reactions and influences of the modes of material nature. There you go. That's the truth. You may say, well, just someone else, someone says this, someone says that. Then, jivasya tatvijnyasa. So you inquire, you make inquiry. If you can find any better understanding than this, then you're welcome, but we don't find any better understanding. Understanding begins with understanding who I am, self-realization. Who I am. Most people, they may talk about finding the truth or what is the truth. But first of all, we have to understand who we are. I am a particle of consciousness. I'm not the body. The body and I are completely different. There's actually no relationship whatsoever between this body and me. I am eternal conscious. Conscious entity. Anuchetanya. But I'm tiny. I'm not the... Sometimes we find people say, yeah, I'm consciousness, and then they start to imagine that I'm the supreme consciousness. No, it's only imagination. We are very small consciousness. So this is the first point to answer, that I'm eternal. Actually, all this philosophy, everything, but without understanding that I am an eternal conscious living being, then everything, all so-called philosophy, it didn't even start. You can't even begin to understand anything of any real importance unless we understand that I am an eternal living being. Before I was in this body, I've been in so many bodies. I may have to go through so many bodies, but I do not aspire for that. I aspire for knowledge of who I really am. I aspire to not die. I aspire to be happy. But taking birth again and again means we don't know who we are, because in each body we get, we identify with the body, which we're not. And we don't, that getting born again and again means we're not in the position of eternity. And definitely we're not in the position of happiness. So first thing to understand is that I am consciousness, and huge majority of people don't know this or don't understand this. Even if they say I'm a Hindu and they have some vague idea that I'm born again and again and again, but because they're not living on the platform, jivasya tatvajignyasa, they're not living on the platform of inquiring into ultimate reality. They act as if they are this body and this life is all in all. So, we are consciousness and we identify with the body, and we don't even realize how, when we say consciousness, how our consciousness is shaped so that we consider this life to be all in all, and this body that we're in to be so very important. Of course, it has its importance because human life is meant for God realization, but it's not important in the way that we think it is, that I have to, in conditioned consciousness, we think that I am this body and I'm meant for enjoying this body. And our whole way of thinking, which begins with thinking, I am this body and I'm meant to enjoy this world, then all our whole way of thinking, our mental habits, the way we see the world, we live our lives according to this, yesterday I said that word, abhiman, according to a certain conception of ourself and our role in this world. But we don't even realize that that conception which we got it from other people. As soon as we're born, all the people around us, they start socializing us or enculturating us. This, do this, this is good, this is bad. Don't cry. That's bad. Of course, babies are allowed to cry. But once they get a little older, stop crying. Don't cry. Be a good boy. Be a good boy means do what I tell you to do. Be a good boy. Go to school. Study hard. Work hard. People are giving us all these ideas, what you should be. I will be a good boy by studying hard and trying to be at the top of my class. So all these ideas people are giving us, and as our intelligence and our consciousness and our awareness develops, we'll find that all different people are trying to give us different ideas, and that has become very intense in the modern age through TV and internet and all these different things. All kinds of people all trying to tell us all different things about what we are or what we should be doing or what we think we should be doing. That's probably not recognized as a major cause of stress, that you can't go. You just go out in the city and there are even if you don't go on the internet, there are advertisements everywhere. Buy this, do that. All people trying to put their idea on us, trying to manipulate us in various ways. And you can see it's quite effective. Otherwise, they wouldn't be advertisements. If the advertisements didn't work, then they wouldn't have them. And you can see how people are manipulated with different fashions. That's very much part of the Western world. And now in India also. Now, for the last, I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 years, there's some hairstyle that young men have where it's shaved here and like a little cake on top. Why everyone is having that? It's considered to be fashionable. So other people, we want to be like other people, what they consider is good. We want to fit in with others, and so we're manipulated in various ways, and begins from the beginning of our life and goes on throughout life. Another example, there are unlimited examples, but previously in India there was no sense of nationalism. Nationalism means dog and catism. The dog, if you come past the dog's area, the dog will start barking at you. This is my area. So this is our country. You come from another country. And then that comes down to Tamil Nadu against Karnataka. It goes down to smaller group, different castes and different people are against each other. Why? Because there's some propaganda that Karnataka people are bad. And in Karnataka, Tamil, oh, very bad. They want all our water. Don't give it to them. So that consciousness, I am this body, I am a Tamil. So we have to hate the Karnatakas because they don't give us our water. So like this, throughout life it goes on. So some people say, well, think for yourself. You should think for yourself. But they're also telling you what you should be like. isn't it? Think for yourself, but that's another idea coming from someone else. It's like don't read books. It's written in a book. Don't take anyone else's idea. This was that Krishnamurti. He was big on that. Don't take anyone else's idea. But he's giving you an idea not to take on other people's idea. We can't avoid it. We can't avoid different people trying to influence us in different ways. We don't even realize how much we're influenced by others. So the real question should be, not think for yourself, because anyway, what can we understand? Being tiny living beings in a massive universe, we don't know why we're here, why we're suffering. But we are enjoined to learn and follow someone who knows things as they are and who can give us knowledge that can benefit us and is acting for our self-interest, for our own self, acting to benefit us. Tattvadarshi. We're enjoined to approach those who see the truth. That term tattvadarshi comes in Bhagavad Gita. Can you think? What is that verse? It's the last word in the tattvadarshi is the singular form and it's given in the plural form in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, give the first word. Okay, well done. You all know the verse, but just seeing if you can, apart from learning it like a machine, if you can apply that also. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. We're enjoined to approach tattvadarshinaha, plural. It may not be only one. Those who've seen the truth, and there's a certain way to approach them also. Not that, hey, come, tell me. One has to approach them in a submissive mood, not a challenging mood. With service, making relevant inquiries, and such persons can help us to understand what we really need to understand. First of all, who we are, what is real, and what is simply appearing to be real. That's the subject yesterday. What Maya is that? Maya means that which is not. Or Maya also means attempting to measure or understand everything when we are very limited and not able to do so. So we should hear from those who really want to benefit us. We may think, well, my mother, my father, they want to benefit me. Yeah, they do, but if they don't know, then they can't. And they're also influenced by other people who are in Maya. So, we should find out those who know and actually want to benefit us. As Srila Prabhupada often said, well, if you want perfect knowledge, then you have to go to the perfect person. And then you may say, well, how do you know the perfect person? You may say, well, the perfect person has got perfect knowledge, and you go round and round in circles there. So how can you find out? Well, ultimately it comes down to Krishna's mercy. Brahmanda brahmite kono bhagyavan jeev. Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. If one is fortunate, then we'll get the, by the mercy of Krishna, we'll get the mercy of a guru who can guide one out of this labyrinth of all wrong ways or misunderstandings, wrong ways of thinking. Then how are we going to know? Well, we have to be sincere. Sincere means, for the sake of this, in this context, we can say that someone who recognizes, I need guidance, but I can't find what is the truth by myself. How can I understand? Of course, Buddha claimed to do so. And the Buddha said, I'm not a guru. They don't have any guru. He is the head of that idea. Just find it out for yourself. You have to discover it, but there's no it. There's no it, there's no non-it. There's nothing in between or nothing. Anyway, Buddhism is Hare Krishna. No Veda, no knowledge, no actual knowledge. It's misleading. So we understanding that we are helpless when we cry out that I know there must be God, there must be the controller, he must have a purpose for guiding, he must have a purpose for setting up this whole material world. He must be someone who can help me. Then we pray to God, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, however you may be, wherever you may be, then help me. Then if we're sincere, then he will guide us to someone who can guide us further, who can give systematic instruction so that we can understand the actual reality. But if we do that, if we become interested to understand the truth, we'll suddenly find that people don't like us. We don't fit in with everyone else. If we don't accept that human life is meant for getting a college degree and then a job and working hard, if we don't accept that, then we come into opposition from others. And we find that in Krishna consciousness again and again and again. People come and say, oh, my family doesn't agree, as they think they're the first ones ever in history that they took to Krishna consciousness, and then their family doesn't like it. And we hear it every day. So, but everyone seems to think it's just me only. They don't realize. Because people all around us, they want us to subscribe to their idea of how we should be. Be a good boy. From the beginning of life. When you get older, they don't say, be a good boy. That's considered only suitable for children. But in a more subtle way, they may not tell us directly, but there's a whole idea. We should be like the way other people want us to be. But when we understand we should be like Krishna wants us to be, that is Krishna consciousness. And that means not being like the way everyone else wants us to be. Actually, if they were Krishna conscious also, they would want us to be like that. But because they have an idea that we're all supposed to be in this world to enjoy it. Let us all enjoy the world together. Let's have a peace conference so we can all live peacefully and be happy together. And those who've got more bombs than others, they don't have peace conferences. Well, we'll enjoy and you're an obstacle, so we'll bomb you. See, we don't need a peace conference. We got more bombs than you. So they have a peace conference when they can't smash them, when their bombs don't work. This Henry Kissinger, I believe he's still alive. He got a Nobel Prize because after years and years of bombing Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia, they realized their war wasn't working. And at home there were so many protests, they weren't going to win the election. So they made a peace conference, and they made peace, and then he got a Nobel Peace Prize. Hypocrisy. It's called hypocrisy. Whole material world is full of it, if you hadn't noticed. So when we understand that the real truth and the real way we should be living our life is not according to the way that everyone in this world thinks we should be living, then we find that everyone in the world doesn't like us, or they go against us, or they think we're strange. You have to be ready for that. Socrates died for his pursuit of truth, and he didn't even get any prasada. Didn't get the holy name, didn't get prasadam, didn't get association of devotees, but he was trying to find out what is the truth. He was doing the right thing, but in the wrong place. There were no devotees there. Wrong place, wrong time. So we're more fortunate that by the grace of Krishna, we are able to study these books. The grace of Krishna has come to us through His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and we can take advantage of it. It's a challenge, no doubt. But we have the means to understand the highest truth, full truth, to the extent that we can understand it, being tiny living beings. But again, it's not a difficult thing to understand. The truth is, I'll read it again, the truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the enjoyer, and that the living entities are meant for His service and enjoyment. One who knows this truth and who tries to engage all resources in the service of the Lord escapes all material reactions and influences of the modes of material nature. So there it is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the enjoyer. We are meant for His service and enjoyment. And in this material world, we're living in the world of non-truth. So we think that I'm meant to be enjoying. And if there's God, God means He helps me to enjoy. So even people believe in God, but they don't understand we are meant for His pleasure. But if we do know this, and we try to serve Krishna, engage all resources in the service of the Lord, then we become free from all material reactions and influences of the modes of material nature. That means we become free from all misconceptions, misunderstandings, all ideas that we accept to be the truth when they're actually not. Hare Krishna. So, any question about this place? Yeah. I advise Tattvadarshi. Yeah, we're advised to approach a Tattvadarshi. Actually, that verse is Tattvadarshinaha. Just technical point. It's plural. It's interesting, huh? Plural. It may be Krishna, by saying that, means there may not be only one. It's just like on this, there's this feet of Srila Prabhupada here. That was made from, it says, the lotus feet of the pure devotee. But I objected to that. Why the pure devotee? As if there's only one. Prabhupada never said, I am the only one, I'm the only way. He wanted to make so many pure devotees. So the idea there's only one. Then you make Prabhupada into like Jesus and you just believe in Him and you don't follow anything and all. So many wrong ideas come out of this. Anyway, yeah, we're advised to approach the Tattvadarshi or Tattvadarshis. Yeah? Generally, we're told to do that within ISKCON only. Really? They still say that, huh? Hmm. This may appear to be sectarian. Could I comment on this? Well, is anywhere else outside of ISKCON? They have classes on Srimad Bhagavatam every morning, discussing like this. Is it in Gauri Amart? They do. Is it in Ireland? Poland? I don't think so. No, they have. That's true. They'll have regular classes in the Gaudiya Math, at least what I've seen in Bengali. I mean, the most of the Gaudiya Math I've seen are either in Bengal or with Bengalis outside Bengal in India. So they also do. So if you get, you can go. You can also go there. But you have to see where the truth is. You find it. You have to see the life is there also. Just like there was a Gaudiya Math founded here some years ago. Puri, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj. Did he come here actually? Or years ago. Once or twice he came here. Then he initiated a few people. But somehow or other, they founded some branch of his mission, but they haven't been able to sustain that life. I don't think anyone hardly in the whole city even knows at any time, even when they were new, that they existed. So, of course, numbers is not necessarily an indication of validity. We, of course, we like to keep that connection with Srila Prabhupada. And even wherever you may be, Gaudiya Math or whatever, if we want to understand the science of the Absolute Truth, then would be highly recommendable to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And in Bengal, from what I know, many of those who are actually interested to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the Gaudiya Math, they prefer to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's books are too difficult to understand. Prabhupada's books are very relevant to the modern age. Yeah, wherever you find the truth, take it. ISKCON doesn't necessarily have a monopoly on the truth. That is a sectarian way of thinking. But you have to see where there's, if ISKCON's actually following Prabhupada also. It's not necessarily just we have a sign on the door, ISKCON. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's what Prabhupada wanted. That we have to see. It becomes, you're saying when people come, they're told you stay here. That might be good for beginners to get them fixed up. They don't run here. But there may be others also who think, oh, come on, it's just another of these. This is the only way kind of thing. So they may be turned off by that also. So if we say that better you stay here, then we better make it better. If people are serious to understand the truth and they find that somewhere else people are more serious about pursuing it, then they can't be blamed for going somewhere else. So we actually have to make ISKCON in the way that people won't want to go anywhere else. I mean, the whole goal of our preaching is not to make people members of ISKCON per se, but to guide them in such a way that they can go to Krishna. And it's supposed to be that ISKCON is meant for that. But if they can go to Krishna, if they by someone else, then very good for them. That's what's wanted, isn't it? It's not that you get to the doors of Vaikuntha and they say, where's your ISKCON Life membership card? Can't get in, 3 days. It's not like that. So in many ways it's good for us that there's some competition. Competition in the sense that they're also preaching Krishna consciousness. All right, then let's see if we can do better. And as much as so the people will want to come to us. And if others they go to Gaudiya Math, or here in this area, people are more likely to go to Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, let's make ISKCON so attractive that that people will want to come here. And if they go to Sri Vaishnavism, then actually there are many people in this area who, being inspired by Srila Prabhupada's books and his teaching and his movement, they gravitate towards the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, and they're doing service there. So we may be happy for that, but actually they, in terms of standards and guidance, just like no food except that offered to Krishna, I don't think anyone's teaching that in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Or no coffee, and no one's teaching that in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's a big topic with many nuances or subtle points. Just like we go to Sri Rangam regularly from here, or we go to Udupi. So we meet the various leaders of their sampradayas. So what should we tell them? That you're not going back to Godhead? Should we say such a thing? You're not going to go to Vaikunth? Should we say such a thing? Is it true? I don't think it's true. Their life is dedicated in service to the Lord. We're going to tell them you have to take birth in ISKCON next time? I don't think so. That's a wrong understanding. They're called bona fide sampradayas. We want to say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given the highest, best, and also easiest process. But we don't say that other processes are not bona fide. And Srila Prabhupada is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special emissary in the modern age. Everyone should recognize that. Hare Krishna. Anything else? All right. Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Hare Krishna.